Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Darren Root and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
Hi, this is Darren Root for Intersection Live, and you're listening to episode 18 of Document Management for Accountants to Go. I'd like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for sponsoring our podcast today. I'm here with my regular co-host, John Higgins. John is a principal with CPA Crossings out in Metro Detroit. John is certainly an expert in all things digital related to documents. So welcome, John.
Good morning, Darren. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. Thanks for taking the time this morning. Today we're going to talk a little bit about document retention, which is something, you know, as I travel the country, I'm getting asked a lot, so I'm really excited to talk about this topic today. So why don't you kind of lay out some of the, give us an overview of what we're going to talk about as it relates to document retention today.
Okay. I think it'd be good to start, Darren, with a little conversation about, you know, what we mean by document retention as it relates to electronic documents, why it's important, and then from there we can talk a bit about the kinds of things you might be looking for as you're shopping for a document management system, in specifically in regards to document retention capabilities. And then we can, you know, time permitting, talk a little bit about some best practices for implementing your document retention policy and strategy for that.
Sounds like a great idea. So, yeah, absolutely. So give me an overview. Let's just talk about what, and again, we're talking about digital documents here, right?
Yeah, that's what we're finding in the marketplace is that, if you recall, and our listeners will recall, we did a review of document storage systems and a separate review of document management systems in the CPA Technology Advisor this summer. And this would be a clear example of one of the features that would differentiate the two groups. And document retention, in terms of electronic document retention, is a function that we're seeing implemented more and more into the enterprise-type DMS solutions. In the lower end or more limited document storage systems, you're not likely to find much in terms of functionality in this area. But maybe to step back a bit from that, in a bigger picture, what we're talking about is automating a policy for what documents, electronic documents and files, you want to keep on your system and the period of time that they should be kept, and then having some way to electronically and automatically purge those documents out of your archives so that they're permanently deleted ultimately. That's kind of the main objective of the document retention functionality.
So what I mean, when in the old days, document retention sort of meant we'd look and see how fat our paper files were, and we'd figure out how to archive some of that into some old file cabinets, right?
Yeah.
And now we're printing all this stuff to a digital document storage sort of file cabinet on our servers or in the sky, however we're doing that. And so it's less obvious that we have to have a document retention policy, I think.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, with traditional paper-based file storage, you know, you had a very apparent need to do the purging because your file room, as you said, the work paper files would start to, get overstuffed, and then the file room would start to overflow. So we'd have a jean day or a jean weekend back in those days when it was rare you could wear jeans. And, you'd have to figure out which files you're going to keep and which files you're going to destroy. And for many firms, that meant, as a first step, kind of moving out to off-site storage, and then at some point, actually permanently destroying them from off-site storage. So there was a little bit more of a natural cue there for us all to work off of to do our document retention. And as you point out, in a digital world, I mean, we can just keep storing files as long as we want. They don't really take up a whole lot of space relatively in our storage facility, our electronic storage facilities. So it's easy to get a little complacent and just kind of let those repositories build up. But the issue is, it's really more a legal issue than anything else, is to protect yourself by having a consistent policy for what information you keep and how long you retain it. That's really one of the primary drivers behind electronic document retention functionality. It's important that, that firms really understand that there is a, you know, they have some responsibility there to make sure they are consistent in the kinds of time frames or time periods they're using to retain their information.
I think it's a great point, because this idea that storage is cheap and so why not just keep everything doesn't really make sense when we start thinking about it from a liability perspective. And, you know, it's, I suspect if somebody all of a sudden gets a notice or all of a sudden has to produce some documents for whatever reason, it's not enough to say, oh, I have a policy, I only keep that for 3 years or 7 years or whatever it might be, and that's the only client that you no longer have that document on. So I suspect having a document retention policy and then the ability to execute that policy is really what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly. And one of the advantages, of course, in an electronic environment is we can automate that. So that's going to it's not going to be perfect. It still requires a lot of human intervention, but it can help to add more structure and more consistency if the firm is actually applying the functionality, you know, on a consistent basis. And what we see at a lot of firms when we work with is that, like, email is the best example today, because if you step back and look at it, email is, I think it's safe to say, the most prevalent form of communication from CPA to client today, for most client-CPA relationships. And in any given firm, what we see is there's some people who are just really organized, and they don't like to keep any email around any, you know, a minute longer than they have to. So their inboxes and their folders tend to be very light. And then you'll have other partners and managers and other staff members at the other end of the spectrum. They keep everything, and they'll keep every single email they've had for the last, you know, 5 years or 7 years, as long as the system will allow them to keep that. And that's where, you know, you can start to get into trouble in the event there was any, unfortunately, any litigation against the firm or a client, where you have to, you know, show that you've consistently applied a retention policy. Otherwise, you know, it's a field day for, you know, for the plaintiffs, frankly.
So, really, we're talking about more, I mean, you just mentioned emails. So, I mean, you know, my mind originally went to, you know, that PDF that's sitting somewhere. So we got to expand our thought process out here beyond just the PDFs, you know, copy of my tax return or financial statements, to emails. Anything else that fits in that realm?
Well, what you have to really look at is what are the kinds of things that are being documented electronically in your firm. And it's different for every firm, but as we start to use web conferencing more and more, a lot of firms are, you know, taking advantage of the ability to record the meetings. And so now all of a sudden you've got another electronic document, which is really a recording of a meeting. You could say the same for voicemails, because a lot of firms have the unified messaging system where the voicemails, you know, just another avenue into the email system. And, you know, so those are just a couple of examples where you've got to realize that so much of what we do today is being recorded electronically, and we're not always completely aware of it or just, you know, cognizant of that. But from a document retention strategy, if you have a situation where some people in your office are, in fact, recording web conference sessions, maybe they were reviewing a tax return with a client using GoToMeeting, but other people in the office aren't, then there's another area where you've got some inconsistency. And, you know, I'm not
good
a lawyer.
Point.
I'm not really familiar with the legal aspects, but the only thing I always hear consistently is that you have to be consistent. As soon as you move away from a consistent document retention policy, that's when you're vulnerable, you know, in terms of, in the case of, again, litigation.
You know, I suspect certainly in small firms that most small firms sort of live in a silo. They don't have some of the advantages of multiple offices and that sort of thing. What do you see as document retention policies in firms today? I mean, what are they doing as it relates to emails, to PDFs, and all these things that they have in their system? What are you seeing as retention policies for them?
Well, what we've seen, I think, you know, for the most part, firms are aware that they need a document retention policy from the paper world. There seems to be less emphasis, less attention being paid to it in electronic world, and so I think that's just, you know, that's part of our job, I guess, is to help educate our listeners and make them aware of that this is becoming more important, not less important. And so we don't see a high degree of actually deployment of the document retention functionality of the systems that are out there. And so it's an example where I think many of the vendors that develop the systems are ahead of the game. They're where they should be, frankly, but that the users tend to be behind the eight ball. But having said that, it's for firms that want to take, you know, the opportunity to really implement an electronic document retention policy, if they have a good paper-based policy in place, it should be relatively easy to transfer that and transform that into an electronic policy. So that's really the first step that firms need to take. So when you look at this whole initiative, you have to have two pieces. You have to have your document retention policy, and then you have to have the functionality in the software. And as you said, Darren, in the smaller firms, it's not going to be as structured, and nor does it probably need to be, because it's just easier. The smaller your firm, the fewer the people that are involved, the more likely you're going to have a better handle on your overall electronic storage and what you have in there. As your firm grows and you have, you know, larger staff and you have turnover, then you're going to have a much greater degree of inconsistency, and frankly, people in the firm aren't going to have a good feel for what somebody else in the firm may have been storing. You know, because some people might be recording phone calls or recording instant message conversations, and you know, that could get into an issue if there was a need to access all the files related to an engagement or a client issue, for example.
Yeah, good point. So as an email comes into our office currently, if we keep all of our sent items, which I don't know is a good thing, but we currently do, and then we're also taking any email that a client sends us that we think is important, and we're putting it into an archive folder, you know, essentially on Exchange. And sort of a public folder. And so we're not getting that into our document management system today, but it sounds like we ought to be thinking about moving those over so that they could be managed, because it's, what's your advice there? Do you move those over to your document management system? Do you let them sit out on Exchange, or what are you seeing happening?
Well, I think, and back to your previous question as well, that's probably where most firms are, Darren, is that they've you know, gotten to the point where they have a folder structure set up, and so they'll move them into folders within the Exchange server, and they'll pretty much stay there. And then maybe you have your archiving of your Exchange server scheduled at some level. But ultimately, the process should be, from a best practice approach, is treating those emails as any other type of electronic document. And so, first of all, determining what should be moved into the DMS system, and if not, then can you delete it? Can you just, you know, purge it right out of the email system without doing anything more with it? But by putting it into the document management system, then you have it automatically falling into the umbrella of all your other documents, so you're going to get that consistency in terms of how your policy is applied. Because an email message is just another form of a document. It's, you know, we can have a PDF, or we can have an email message, or we can have a Word document. It doesn't really matter in terms of the content. It's all the same. And so moving that information into the document management system is going to help you to bring it into the umbrella of your overall firm level of document retention. Now, you know, having said all that, realizing everybody's stressed out for trying to get things done, there's only so much time in the day. So, you know, if you asked me in terms of the priority of overall initiatives that most firms need to deal with, this is probably closer to the bottom than it is to the top. So it's, as you're saying, Darren, I mean, you've taken a step at this point with the archive folders, thinking about what's the long-term strategy and how do we get a more structured document retention policy is where firms want to just make sure you keep that on your radar. And, you know, we've always talked about implementing document management as more about a journey than a destination. So this is one of those aspects of document management that, you know, you're not going to probably focus on in the first year, maybe not even the second year, but as your deployment gets much more mature and you're constantly looking for ways to improve your use of the system, that's when the document retention features really, you know, can be something that you should pay attention to.
So as we start looking at some of these programs that are out there, whether it's an Act First or File Cabinet CS from Thompson or GoFile Room or CCH's Document, all these different platforms that are out there for document management, are you seeing features built in that allows you to go in and say, okay, I want to purge everything that is 7 years or older or 3 years or older? Is that's what's happening?
Yeah, that's one approach, is just strictly doing it based upon the date of the document. But the more sophisticated systems will allow you to set up your retention policy as like a table. Say, for example, tax returns we're going to keep for 7 years. Financial statements we're going to keep for 5 years, whatever the actual retention periods are. And then you would map those policy categories, if you want to think of it that way, to your document types, so that whenever you store a document into your documents management system, we've talked in the past about the metadata values. So you would identify the document as either a tax return or maybe a tax work paper or a correspondence. And so you would set up a mapping that, based upon the type of document, this is the document retention policy that I want applied to it. So that really adds a lot of structure, makes it easy so that the person storing that particular type of document in the system doesn't have to worry about the retention policy. It's already been set up at the firm level. And then from there, some of the features we would see is the ability at any time to print out like a pre-purge report. So I want to purge off all of my documents that are scheduled for deletion as of September 30th, 2009. So before I actually delete them, I want to see a report. I might want to then print that report to PDF and store that as like an audit trail of what, in fact, the documents were that were deleted. I think that's a good practice so that you have some record that there was a document there. But then you would, you know, if the documents in that report met your review, you'd say, okay, go ahead and purge it. And now there's different levels of purging. Some systems will do like a delete to a recycle bin, but ultimately you want it to be a permanent purge. That's the whole objective, is to, you know, from a legal perspective, to get that document. It's at the end of its life cycle from your legal obligations and your client obligations, so you want to get it permanently deleted. And so that would be another feature you would look for, is what level is it deleting at? Is it a true permanent delete, or is it sending it off to a recycle bin as a first step? And I've seen the system, GoFile has the functionality where when you actually run the purging for the document retention process, it requires two logins, because it does truly do a permanent purging. So you don't want somebody, a disgruntled employee who just, you know, wants to cause havoc, to go in there and run the process. So in their case, they require two logins. I think that's an excellent feature, because that way you want to make sure that there's at least two people working together to make that decision.
It seems like, I mean, we're still kind of early in the whole DMS world still. I mean, as far as adoption from the profession, I think everybody seems to be starting to adopt. So we're in the mass adoption mode. But, you know, a lot of firms don't know where, you know, which programs to buy. There's a few options out there. But, you know, as I listen to you, it certainly starts pushing, you know, anything besides a really small firm towards maybe an upper-end solution, so that you gain more functionality, because the lower-end solutions I've seen don't have some of the functionality that you're talking about. But as we head down this road for the next 10 years, I see it being really important to have that functionality.
Yeah, it's a classic case where at the end of the day, for the most part, you're going to get what you pay for in these systems. And it doesn't mean the low price systems are bad. It just means that they tend to be, you know, more limited in their functionality. So it's whether or not your firm wants to take a short-term view of the investment or a long-term view. And, you know, I've been working in the software industry or business for over 25 years now, and you know, the one thing I've really learned is that it's evolutionary. These systems, whatever it is, accounting system or a tax software or, in this case, document management system, it just takes time to really integrate the application into your operations. And the more time you have and the more you integrate it, the more you want out of the system, the more features and functions. So I'm a big proponent of, you know, when you make an investment in a system like this, you know, you don't need to worry about implementing document retention, like I said, in the first year, but it's helpful to know that that capability is there when you need it, when you're going to be ready for it on your end. So that's, you know, like you say, it's an example of where you have differentiation in the marketplace of what the products the vendors have to offer.
Well, that's a really good point. And, I mean, I think this is a great topic that firms need to be thinking about, because we are a few years into this now. And so we're starting to have documents that need to be purged, and we have to pay, you know, some attention to this. And a lot of us are way down the road with the solutions, you know, that we have that may not have those capabilities. So I think it's something worth paying attention to, and as a small firm, just looking into and seeing what the best next step might be. Any other thoughts on that as we run out of time? I know you have an appointment coming up, as do I, so we're about out of time. What's your other thoughts on that?
Well, I just said, and I don't want to get people all worked up, if they have a system that doesn't have document retention functionality today, I think this is a clear situation where the vendor community will, you know, stay in pace with the market requirements, so that while there are many systems that already have this functionality today, those that don't have it, in order for those vendors to continue to compete in the marketplace, I'm sure they'll add that functionality when the time is right for their, you know, their constituents. So if you don't have it in your system, I wouldn't go out and buy a new system today because it's not there.
You know, that's a very valid and great point. But at the same time, maybe you should make sure you're telling your vendor, hey, you know, I'm concerned about this issue, because the more they hear from their customer base, the more they're inclined to make those changes as well, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. The vendors, I think, for the most part, do a really good job of listening to what their customers have to say. So it's always good, if you don't like something about your software, whatever it is, or you think there's a feature that's required, it's always a good investment of your time to send them an email or make a phone call, because they listen. They want to be responsible to the marketplace. So that's a good point, Darren.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Well, John, thanks for your time today, and look forward to getting together again next month.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me, Darren.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.